My brothers and sisters, I want to speak to you today primarily from verse 1 of chapter 4 of Ephesians, and how Paul said, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye have been called." The epistle to the Ephesians was written by Paul during his first time of imprisonment in Rome, and it was approximately 10 years after he had established the work in Ephesus. It is Paul's heavenly letter, as it has been termed, because of the number of times he uses the phrase "in heavenly places," or simply "in the heavenlies." A.T. Pearson commented that Paul soars from the depths of ruin to the heights of redemption. Its distinctive teaching is about the church of Christ as his body, and believers as members of that sacred body, and the unity that must be pursued by every member. To look at chapter 1, it would present the Lord Jesus as the great head of his church, or the ruler. In the second chapter, Jesus is the chief cornerstone of the spiritual building of his body, the church, and therefore we have the foundation rock. In the third chapter, the Son of God is the source of spiritual wealth and wisdom. And from that, we draw the riches. So we have Christ as the ruler, the rock, and the riches of our salvation. And in the fourth chapter, our Savior is the unifying principle, providing in his church unity in diversity. The fourth chapter has three sections to it. The first 12 verses look at the unity which is evidenced in maturity in verses 13 to 16, and then from verse 17 to the end, the holiness of the body of believers. So unity, maturity, and holiness. And in all of this, my brothers and sisters, we are exhorted to walk worthy of Christ Jesus. That's the opening exhortation of the fourth chapter. And really, when you're studying the book of Ephesians, you will notice that chapters 4, 5, and 6 present the practical application of the doctrines of chapters 1, 2, and 3. It was a habit of the Apostle Paul, and of course we know he was directed by the Spirit of the Lord to present the truth and then to apply the truth. And that's what ministry is all about. So we're thinking today about what it means to walk worthy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some might ask the simple question, well, why is it incumbent upon Christians to walk worthy of Jesus? And the answer to that question in the first place is simply this: because our Savior is worthy himself. Paul here calls himself a prisoner of the Lord. He doesn't do that because he is seeking some kind of sympathy or acclaim, but that he was privileged to suffer for the cause of Christ. That strikes me as I read the open chapters of the book of Acts, you know, because as the apostles were taken and sometimes beaten and thrown in prison, and then they were released, they went back to the other believers in Jerusalem and they counted themselves worthy. They counted themselves a blessing to have suffered shame for the cause of Christ. I think we could learn much from that, because oftentimes when we have to suffer a little bit for the Lord, we may get cast down or wondering, why me? Instead of that, friend, let us think of it this way and say, Lord, I am so blessed to be able to go through anything at all to suffer for the cause of my Savior. And the Apostle Paul was a prisoner of the Lord, and he could be in no happier position at that time, because he knew he was in the will of God in his life. And wherever the will of the Lord takes you, the grace of God will support you. He knew whom he had believed in, and he rejoiced in some way or other. He could name the name of Christ, and the Lord Jesus was magnified by his imprisonment. Paul had suffered the loss of his liberty. There was no doubt about that. He did not have the same freedoms that once he enjoyed. His comforts were taken away. He didn't have the things he enjoyed before. But you know, all things that at one time were judged by him to be a blessing, he counted them loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus and the blessing of service he could be to his Lord and to his people. And so in this, the apostle, as a prisoner of the Lord, walked worthy of his master and Lord, and was worthy, well, Christ was worthy in his mind of incalculably more than he was able to give. What about us today? Can we ask ourselves that question? Have we suffered for Christ's sake? You know, whatever we have endured, it has not been to this degree, nor have we yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. We have not laid down our life. We have not been beaten for the cause of Christ. Yet it is true that when we have gone through a trial of our faith, we are not likely to boast that we have suffered a great thing. It's likely the opposite, isn't it, in your life? If you have gone through something where you can say it has been a plague or some suffering from the Lord for the testimony of Christ in your heart, you would say, no, I have not suffered anything. And that's the right spirit that we are to have, because we are told our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We have been all called by God to walk worthy of this vocation wherewith we have been called. This could be paraphrased in this way: the job you have been trained for, or the career you have prepared for. But it's more than this. It's akin to a family with a coveted reputation in a trade or some product that they have been producing for generations. And along comes the next family member into the business, and they are trained and they are expected to apply themselves with the same diligence and the same responsibility, because the reputation of the family is at stake. And if they were to be neglectful in their behavior, in their manner of work, in their testimony, it would reflect upon the family business, upon the reputation that had been built for years. Could we think about that in the way of Christ? Could we think about that in the way of the Church of the Lord Jesus and all of us as believers, that we are called to walk worthy of Christ because he is a worthy Savior, and we don't want to bring any shame upon the name of our Lord, and therefore we are to behave ourselves in a manner that is equal to the calling that we have received by Christ himself. Do we want to honor our Lord? Yes, I know, believer, in your heart, you will say, I want to honor the Lord. And so every faithful believer would have to say and will say yes. The word worthy in our text, it means something that is after a godly sort, something that is suitable. It's an adverb that describes the word walk. So we have walk worthy. So how are we to walk as Christians? And the answer is, we are to walk equal to the value, the estimation of the calling we have been given. Now that puts things into perspective, doesn't it? And in our lives, that's exactly what we're called to do. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20, the apostle said, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. And the word ambassador comes from the Greek word presbuo, one with responsibility of representing. Well, you will detect the word presbyter or Presbyterian in that. And the Presbyterian form of government is a government by representation. So the congregation would elect elders, and then those elders have the responsibility of overseeing the spiritual direction of the congregation. So by representation. And if an elder behaves himself shamefully or dishonorably to that calling, dishonor is brought to the Lord, dishonor would be brought to the local church, and certainly dishonor to their own life. And so we as Christians, thinking about that in the more extensive way, that all of us, in that sense, are called ambassadors, presbuo, because we all have the responsibility of reflecting the honor of Christ to a lost world, to a world that is very critical, to a world that is full of accusation against Christians. It's a sad, sad reality that too often believers have given a bad testimony in the world. And people would have to say, well, if that's the way Christians behave, or if that's the way the church is, I don't want to have any part of it. That's a shameful thing. And let us pray that that will never be said of us. But in all of our transactions, in all of our dealings, in all of our behavior, we will be known and marked as men and women of God, those who have been separated to walk with Christ. Yes, our Lord Jesus, he is our worthy Savior. Revelation 5, verse 12 says, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Weighing up, having weight, having the weight of another thing of like value, worth as much, befitting. How can we speak sufficiently of the worthiness of Christ Jesus, our Savior and our Lord? Don't we lack words, brothers, sisters? Too often, when we come to try and express the honor and the majesty that is due to his all-powerful name, we are bereft of the ability, for he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is God manifest in the flesh who dwelt among men. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Isaiah 40 and verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding? And in the same prophecy in chapter 57 and verse 15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in a high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Why, the Lord says, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones? Is this not what we desire from the Lord, to dwell in his presence, to know the abiding influence and power and strength of the Holy Spirit to revive our hearts? God promises he will do this. As we humble ourselves under his mighty hand, he will exalt us in due time. 2 Samuel 22 and verse 4, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. We are called, dear friends, with a high and a holy calling. May we ask ourselves, how are we doing in our trade? It's time for a little reflection, perhaps, a review of the past year, the anticipation of what is in front of us, and our prayer would be that always, Lord, your name would be exalted, and that we would praise and give thanks because we have a worthy Savior. So why else is it that we should walk worthy of our Lord? In the second place today, because we are redeemed sinners. The believers here in Ephesus were being exhorted to something that was based on what had been already done for them, namely, their eternal election and predestination. In chapter 1 and verse 5, of Ephesians. It was based on their redemption by the blood of Christ, chapter 1, verse 7. It was based on their forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, chapter 1, verse 7. And that they had been made fellow citizens with the saints, chapter 2, verse 19. And they had a great inheritance in heaven, chapter 1, verse 11. And all of this is pulled together in chapter 2 and verse 8, and all by the grace of God in Christ Jesus. We are to walk worthy of so great salvation, so great a master who gave his all for rebels and sinners. And we justly deserve damnation and hell. And yet, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We have been brought, dear friends, out of a deep pit, out of a horrible pit of noise. And we have been set upon the rock of our salvation. And what God said of Old Testament Israel, it applies to all his people. Deuteronomy 26 and 19, God says, I have chosen you to make you high above all nations, which he has made in praise and in name and in honor, and that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord. This is God's purpose for us. Have you seen this accomplished in the past 12 months? Have you seen this, my dear friends, accomplished in the last month? God is at work in us. I pray that we will not hinder that work. I pray that we will walk worthy of Christ because we are redeemed sinners. We are children of the King. And we'll say, as the apostle did in Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul used an argument in Romans 12:1 of the mercies of God to motivate us in our reasonable service, that we would not be conformed to this world, but rather transformed by the renewing of our minds to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, and by extension, in this case, to walk in life in a manner that will bring honor to the cause of Christ. How many times have we heard people point out the inconsistencies of Christians? Maybe even, friend, people have pointed out to you personally, as I know they have to me, of my inconsistencies as a follower of Christ. You know, it's a lot more difficult as a preacher of the word, because as you stand and minister the word, well, there's all the more opportunity where eyes and fingers might be pointed back at the preacher to say, oh, you say this and you preach this, but there's some inconsistencies in this area, that area. I feel the weight of that, believe me. And all the much more why I pray, Lord, guard my heart, guard my mind, guard my walk. As a redeemed sinner, I want to show the worthiness of Christ. I don't want to make my Christianity invalid because of my compromise. So what impact are you having in your life? Do people in your workplace or your school, your neighbors, do they know you're a believer? Do they know you're a Christian? What do they think about you as a follower of Christ? Do you have petty arguments with neighbors over land issues, over a tree on this part of the line or that part of the line, or a fence that's not quite right? Sometimes those things which are so unimportant, well, they can cause us to lose a testimony. I pray that each day we will weigh up the greater issues of the kingdom of God and the things that are of eternal importance, and the Lord will enable us to walk worthy as redeemed sinners. But there is another reason why we are called to walk worthy of the Lord. In the third place, it's because there are souls that are yet to be saved. There are sinners yet to be born again. The body of Christ is not complete yet, and it will not be completed until Christ is ready to return to this world. God is building his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The church of Christ is marching forward, and the gates of hell will not be able to stand in front or stop the advancing church of Jesus Christ. There is so much at stake here. And C.T. Studd, the missionary to China, said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. That's one thing to say that, but it's another thing for us to actually live it that way. But there are souls that need to be saved. God's elect need to be brought in. And my prayer is that the Lord will bring sinners into my church here, our church in Toronto, and that as the word is preached, there will be souls converted. I've been praying personally that God will make use of me to lead souls to Christ. And you know, he answered that prayer in a mighty way just before we broke for the Christmas holidays. There's a young man who'd been attending our church, and we'd been ministering to him and witnessing to him, and he called and wanted to speak to me. And as he told his story and shared what he knew about the Lord being brought up in a Christian home, yet that matter was still just not settled for him of his own personal faith. And the Lord gave me the joy of pointing that man to Christ. But I didn't have to do anything, because he was as a piece of fruit ready to fall into my hand from the tree, and the Lord saved him. And I would ask you to pray for that young man, that the Lord would confirm his faith in him, and that he would grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and that we would see many more souls being born again, from the youngest child to the oldest attender in church. We are called to this service. All of us are called to be evangelists, to give a testimony, to give a word, some way, somehow. The cause of Christ and his church is too great for any one of us to shy away from. We are to be concerned with what concerns our Lord. And we could say that on the other side too, couldn't we? We are not to be concerned with those things that do not concern our Savior. We all seem to get tied up in knots of things that are so important to us. And yet when we weigh them in the great scale, they're not worth getting upset about. Let us pray that God will give us the grace to see those things, and we will have the mind of Christ, and we will know to put them in the right category and weigh them up and say, Lord, let me always have an eye single to the greater cause of the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we cannot save a soul, we know that, but we are called to be signposts. We are called to disciple and to teach and train other people, and we pray that the Lord will enable us to do that. As Jesus said to Peter, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. I pray that God would enable us to do that in our own Christian lives. I ask you, my dear friends, to remember and to pray for our missionaries, to pray for believers who are serving the Lord in many, many different capacities, to pray that each one of us will indeed have the joy of leading souls to the Lord in this new year, and that the Lord will strengthen us, that we will see a greater vision of the worthiness of Christ Jesus, that we will realize that our service must be returned back to the Lord because he has redeemed us, and there are yet many souls to be brought into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as God impresses this truth upon us, this new year will be a great year. I pray that he will do just that for us. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, take this word today, I ask, and stamp it upon all our hearts. I pray that we will walk worthy of our Lord Jesus. We ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's close our service today by singing hymn number 39, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds. Let's unite, please, in prayer. Father, take now this word that we have thought of today, both in John's epistle as we have read here in Ephesians, and write the truth of these words upon our hearts. Make us, we pray, soul winners for the glory and honor of King Jesus. Grant to us household salvation. Bless us in this new year that we will walk worthy of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the great King and the only head of the church. Bless us now, Lord, we pray. Keep us in the Spirit on your day. We ask for Christ's sake. Amen.